I'm pleased to welcome the Mayor of Fremantle, Hannah Fitzharding, to Fremantle Shipping News.
Thanks, Michael.
We're here because you are one of five candidates for the position of Mayor at the upcoming local government elections.
I am, that's correct.
And you've been in the job for how many years now?
4 very quick years. It's actually a little bit disturbing how quickly those 4 years have gone past.
I can't believe 4 years have passed. Now, I've said to each of the candidates, including a whole gallery of candidates for councillor positions, I've created a rod for my own back, I think, that the first question will be, why are you running? And I suppose if you've been the mayor, you might be running because you really enjoy the job. But let me ask you straight up, why are you running, Hannah?
Well, Michael, I have really enjoyed the job, actually. And I think that's the first thing to say is it is an absolutely incredible job. And you hold the love of a community for their place in the world as the mayor, and also all the things and concerns and issues and aspirations that they might have for that place. But the overwhelming feeling I get from people is love for Fremantle, for what it has been, what it is now, what it can be into the future. And it's an incredible privilege to hold that role. Now, I'm an optimist and I'm someone who really likes to get stuff done. So 4 years, I thought, great, 4 years, you know, that'll be plenty of time to do a whole lot of things. It'll be amazing. You know, I had a whole plan. Getting to the end of that 4 years, there's still unfinished business. And I guess I want to keep that optimism. I think the optimism is good and the hope that you can get all these things done is good. I think I certainly know the ropes a lot better now and know how long it takes in reality to deliver on some of these things. And that's why I want to keep going, because I just feel like we are partway through some really significant things for our city.
So what are some of those significant things which fall into a category of unfinished business?
Some of it is fairly simple. So we have taken a kind of back to basics approach. And the first basic I think we focused on very successfully was actually going out to the community and engaging with the community and seeing what their sort of real issues on the ground were. And the whole strategic community planning process we went through, followed by various other plans, city plan, recreation spaces plan, all those kind of plans, even though they sound like plans on a shelf, they're driving council decisions about where the priorities are. And a lot of feedback came through about the basics, the footpaths, the appearance of the city. Now, again, these are things like, great, we can just fix this. It takes years and it takes new assets. For example, new street cleaners. We've got Merrill Sweep, our famous street cleaner, and more shifts on street cleaners. It takes successive budgets where you fix footpaths and you get right into those very granular city things. You know, you don't get much more local government than this. That, you know, I guess we want to maintain. But it's more than that. Fremantle, I think, as a city, we have a really strong identity, and that identity is built on diversity, creativity, being a place for everyone. And for me, the biggest risk at the moment and the thing that really has pushed me to keep going is that we're beginning to lose that. And we're losing it through gentrification. We're losing it through, I guess, people, you know, I know there's a housing crisis everywhere and we're not alone here. But younger people, older people who want to stay in their community, simply just having nowhere that they can aspire to live in Fremantle. And that really worries me. I feel like if we want to stay true to who we are, we absolutely need space for a whole diversity of people.
One of the things that people who don't know Fremantle, and even people who do observe about Fremantle, is that we seem to have our fair share of homeless people, very obviously sleeping in doorways in the centre of the city and other places round about. And there are a lot of good people trying to in a sense, quote unquote, solve the homelessness problem. What can Fremantle do about it? Is that part of your policy platform for this election?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the key thing here and what I've learnt during this time is we have to listen to the experts. You know, there are people who work in this day in, day out, and people like Michael Pugh, who I have a huge amount of respect for, they know what works and what doesn't. And it's a hard slog and it's an ongoing slog. There is no magic wand. And I think, you know, we all look at people in this situation and think, if we had a magic wand, we would use it on behalf of these people who are sleeping rough on these really cold nights. And, you know, there is a role for local government, I think, in both the day-to-day response to homelessness. So whether that be engaging with people who are sleeping rough and really, you know, trying to understand their circumstances, what's led them to where they are, what can we do to help them right now. But also that might look like engaging with the larger groups of people who've come together and who might make a, you know, area of the Cappuccino Strip or the piazza feel quite unfriendly to people. So we kind of have a dual role there and it's a balancing act. We're getting to the point now, I think, where we need to look at crisis accommodation, and that's a conversation we're having with people in the sector. Somewhere for people to sleep that feels safe, that's protected. We know St Pat's opens up overnight when it gets very cold or very hot.
It has to be extreme though.
Yeah, and we need something that fills that particular gap. It feels a bit like a concession because really we would prefer to see everyone housed, but that might be an interim measure in the next few years that we have to do, because this problem is growing and growing as the housing crisis just pushes people out.
Are there options for that sort of accommodation that the council has some sort of control in?
We're doing a feasibility at the moment to look at what might be possible and look at models that have worked in other places and also models obviously that haven't. So we need to create an environment that is safe for people. We can't, you know, put them in a situation that causes them or others any danger.
There's a lot of sort of chatter about the housing pods around, the tiny homes concept. And they can be very, very sort of small and relatively inexpensive to fancier things. It took me back to the time of 10 or 15 years ago when Fremantle actually brought in the granny flat concept in the backyard.
That's right.
The granny flat sort of is the ultimate pod tiny house, really. Is there some scope for that in Fremantle?
Yeah, and look, we've had the project in North Fremantle, the My Home project, which is pretty well known and acknowledged. I think when you speak to people who are expert in this area, it's probably not the first solution that they're going to for a number of reasons. And often it's to do with how people are supported in those living arrangements and how you make it livable for all of the people, both in that arrangement, but also around them. So we're seeing sort of more of a move towards the community housing provider model. So something like Wincar House, which is going ahead up on Ellen Street, is a great model where...
For women,
yeah. Yes. And I think they've got Wolf Sargent for men,
yes,
down on South Terrace. And that's a really great supported accommodation model where, you know, the neighbours near Wolf Sargent really have had no complaints about that accommodation over the years. And so I think we want to go with things that are tried and tested and that the experts feel really comfortable they can manage.
Great challenge, and we can't spend all of this podcast on it, but there's the lead time and the cost of those models versus just trying to deal with, as you said, cold, wet, windy, boiling hot nights when people are sleeping rough or just don't have accommodation.
Yeah.
Turning the topic slightly, on the shipping news, Barry Healy, a committed Marxist, wrote a story recently under his Seeing Red column where he said this election on Fremantle Council should be all about AUKUS. What do you think?
Well, look, there are a lot of issues out there in the world. AUKUS is one of them. I mean, I think people in the community rightfully should be able to have their questions on AUKUS answered because it is, you know, this we're talking about a significant shift, not just in defence policy, but in you know, what kind of technology we use. And nuclear is scary. Like, there's no hiding from it. It worries me. I think it worries everyone. People need to be able to have their questions answered. Is that the role of local government? I think the role of local government is about facilitating them to get those answers. So I've been in, you know, council's been, Perth South West Metropolitan Alliance has been advocating strongly to the federal government, to the ASA and Department of Defence, to say you've got to show up in these communities and let people have their questions put to you. You know, it's, you can't hide from this in Canberra. You have to come to Fremantle, to Rockingham and front up, because we're not the experts in this, but our community wants these questions answered. And I'm glad now we've finally got a date locked in after I think about 6 months of trying for the ASA to be available to the community.
Well, the Australian Submarine Agency, yes, they're in great demand. You and the other mayors who went off to have a look around establishments in the US sort of copped a fair bit of flack for doing that. How do you feel about it now?
Well, I mean, I think what was useful about it was we could see how in the US, firsthand, these agencies are really open with their communities and they're really connected into the community. If people have got an issue, they know exactly who to go to and that door is open to them. So what it gave us was, I think, leverage with the ASA to be able to say to the ASA, hey, we've just been to the States, you know, and look, the States is a different place now. I think we went at a slightly different time, really. It's quite wild to think that that wasn't that long ago. But, you know, if they can manage transparency, I don't see why here in Australia we can't. And I think that's been, it hasn't been quick, but it has been compelling for the ASA that they've needed to front up to the community and be able to engage directly.
Now, we've got lots of ports around Fremantle. Hannah, we're starting with talking about AUKUS. We've got HMAS Stirling down on Garden Island.
Correct.
Nail ships coming in there and out all the time. Submarines, if you keep your eye in Coburn Sound, pottering past. Then we've got Kwinana just south here where there's more facilities. Ships are coming in and out all the time. Probably this new naval industry you're going to have is immediately south of Fremantle, just in Coburn. And Austal ships have got all sorts of contracts. But then we've got Fremantle Harbour, of course, which is famous, built by Seaway O'Connor pretty much at the turn of the 20th century. And now there's a plan to send it to Westport. But there are still people grumping about that happening or saying it will never happen or and a bit of a rearguard action, I see. What does Fremantle Council have a position on it? Do you have a position on it?
Look, we support the working port in Fremantle, but we also acknowledge that it's not our decision whether it stays or not. So I think my biggest focus is things that we can control. So whatever happens with the harbour, right now, Fremantle on our side of the rail line is really underdeveloped. And the focus and the decisions that we make are all about what happens on this side of the line. So we could spend all our time and energy over the other side of the line, being pro or con or whatever with the port, or we could focus on what we control. So my choice has been to focus on what we have some control over, which is everything on our side of the line. And that's why we're doing things like the city plan to say, how do we get more residents living in the Fremantle city centre, shopping in local shops, using local schools, you know, paying rates so that we can do things like, you know, fix up the footpaths, all those kind of things that we want to do. How do we make that happen? Because that is something we have some control over. So we have to, I think we've got to be clear about what are internal risks and opportunities that the city can actually do something about and things that are external to us that will have an impact on us. Where do we put our energy and effort?
Well, looking ahead to the next 4 years and taking those comments into account, what do you think are or will be the key issues?
Well, I think coming back to that issue of density and diversity or people being pushed out of Fremantle, I mean, I think that really is one of those high risk issues for us. People move to Fremantle because they think, oh, it's so great, you know, there's so much artistic endeavour and creativity and design professionals and it's full of all of these amazing people. But nobody thinks about what the impact of everyone moving to Fremantle because of these cool things are on the cool things. You know, the problem is that when it becomes unaffordable to rent studio space, when it becomes unaffordable to live anywhere near Fremantle, then we're just going to lose that talent and that identity. We've got a massive opportunity around the students in Fremantle. You know, it's every day seeing the Notre Dame students just all flood out of here at 4 o'clock back to the train station or, you know, back to wherever they go. Some of them live up at St Catharines and some of the colleges up at UWA. You think, what would it mean if we kept those people in Fremantle and they worked in the local hospitality sector, lived their lives out in Freo? They'd love it. Be great for our economy. So I think, you know, things like delivering on the new planning scheme, and I know planning gets a big yawn from everyone, but it's a key role for local government is to set the conditions under which our city can develop. which bits should be preserved for their heritage and for their character, which bits are we comfortable to say, yeah, we could have a few more people living here. And I think when you look at that spatially, which is the work we've done through the city plan, you see there are huge parts of Fremantle, particularly towards that east end, that have just incredible opportunity for more people living here.
And we're getting towards the end of our 15 minutes or so, which I've promised to all the candidates. So summing up from your point of view, three or four, five key issues for why people should vote for you.
Look, I think I have a record that I can stand on, and that is of, I think I'm constructive, I'm positive, I work well with other people. I do, and I think this is maybe something I've been criticised for, but I hope it's a strength. I work directly with people, and often not through the sort of social media kind of advocacy, that side of things. I try and understand where other people are coming from, even if that's at other levels of government, and try and prosecute the arguments for Fremantle in those rooms. And a good example of that would be something like the Bridge Project, where we got off track, and I think everyone was saying, oh, you need to go and scream from the rooftops. And I stayed in the room and, you know, stayed respectful, and we worked through it, and we got to a point where I think everyone accepted that the bridge was going to be a good outcome. So there's a question of character there. I might not be the most showy person out there, but I do think, you know, when people understand how I work, it's constructive, it's positive, and it's respectful. And I think, you know, in this world, with everything that's going on around us, I hope that's what we want from our political leaders. I think the other reasons to, you know, and I find it hard actually saying you should vote for me, I'm not someone who jumps up on a platform. I think we need to really consider the whole character of Fremantle, and that means, you know, looking out in the suburbs. It's one thing I love about this time when, you know, the job of mayor slows down a little bit and I can go out and go door knocking, is hearing people's daily lives in the suburbs and what their issues and concerns are. I think there's a lot of work we've done to build up reserves so that we can deliver things like the Hilton Park Master Plan, you know, the key bits of infrastructure in our suburbs that haven't had any love for years and years. And, you know, we really need to now go out and partner with state and federal government to deliver some of those big projects. And those are the things that actually matter when you're out in the suburbs. We talk a lot about the city centre, but sometimes our suburbs feel quite forgotten. And I think it's really important to look at those community assets. The other bit is trusting the community to know what they want. And I think a great example of this is something like the North Rio Bolo. You know, sometimes the best thing you can do is put something back into community hands and have the community love it and own it and run it how they want to run it. And that's something we really, you know, I feel really strongly committed to. I don't think those are five things, but you're giving me the look, Michael, like you've had your 15 minutes, Hannah, and it's time to stop talking.
Well, there's going to be other opportunities and debates
and the like.
It's going to be a very exciting time, but Hannah Fitzhardy, thank you for joining me today.
It's a pleasure.